and welcome back to Book Buzz with Jen and Peng, a podcast where we talk about romance books, our current reads, and we also have the pleasure of sitting down with some of our favorite authors and chatting with them about their amazing books.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. We are back, and I am going to be completely honest. We did record last week, which was supposed to go up. No, actually, it was supposed to go up last week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then this week, since we were getting stuff ready for the box that's going to go live next week, we didn't have time to record anything, but it's my fault. Things got busy and I just forgot to upload it. My bad. I'm sorry. But this one today, I do have to upload because we're interviewing the amazing and talented and an author that literally always makes me cry with her books is Molly McAdams. So next week we'll be back and talking about the books we finished reading because I have read. So that's good. But like I mentioned just a second ago, today we have the pleasure of chatting with New York Times bestselling author Molly McAdams. You guys have heard me talking about her books here before, especially Fire and Firefly, which have to be my two favorite of hers. It's between Fire and Firefly that I cannot figure out which is my favorite. But she recently released Stealing Chances, which is an alternate universe, which was very, very surprising to me. So we're going to be talking to her about that. We're going to be talking to her about her other books, her characters, her heroes, and we are so excited. So please sit back, grab some coffee or water, and we hope you enjoy today's interview. First of all, I just want to thank you so, so much for agreeing to do this interview with us. I've talked about your book so many times on this podcast. And I literally complain about how I've stayed up till the AM crying, how I didn't want it to end, how I needed more, especially I think I remember I messaged you so much when I finished reading Fire.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, I talked about that book like so many times in this podcast on how I was not over it. I was like in the biggest book slump after I finished reading that book.
I always think it's funny because whenever you like message me, I think that you're just trying to be nice. And so whenever I actually see you like post about it, I'm like, wait, is she not actually just trying to be nice to me? So I get like really excited. I'm like, oh my God, wait, she actually posted about my book. Hold on.
I cannot describe how much, because the first duet I read of yours was the Forgiving series, the duet.
Oh yeah.
And that was the first one. And then I started a little bit backwards. I read Firefly, which, you know, I love that book and I love Dare. Like, we're going to get into that more a little bit later. But first of all, like I said, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview with us because I truly do love your books and it's going to be so much fun talking to you about them. But let's start off with, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I mean, like, this is my favorite time of year. I mean, like, not technically because it's like hot, but you know, cause you know, Texas, but it's just like the fact that it's finally fall and it's about to hit all like the holidays and stuff like that. And so that alone brings me so much happiness. And so I kind of ride this like happy train for the rest of the year. So I'm so good today.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to be doing this. What?
And the weather today, I went outside and it feels so good. Like the first time ever that I don't feel like I'm melting.
Right.
I hate this weather. But we did want to start off with this interview, just going back a little bit and talking about how you got into writing. Cause like I've said, you've written some dark romance books, some small town, and it's like, it's so different than the Forgiving duet. Cause I felt that was a little bit of a small town vibe as well, especially with the second one, but okay. It also contains a lot of suspense. I won't go into details on the second one because in case people haven't read it, but how did you start this journey of, I want to be an author, I want to write romance, and deciding with what you wanted to write to, which it was suspense or a small town and all of that?
Well, I never like had that whole, I want to be an author thing. Because I think there's so many authors that I hear from them, like, I've been writing books my entire life. I've always wanted to be an author. And I think that's amazing. And I kind of feel like the uncool person, like kind of like, well, looking at them like, man, I wish I had been that person too. But I was not a reader growing up. Like, I just didn't care. I actually failed out of creative writing in college. And the last thing that professor told me was that I would never have a career in writing. And I was like, that's cool. I don't want to. I'd only been taking that class because it was mandatory, which was obviously great for me since I failed it. I knew, I guess going into it that I wanted something with romance because since I didn't read anything really growing up, the first time that I actually got into books, I realized that I enjoyed reading if there was a romantic thread somewhere in there. Obviously if it's like heavy on the romance, I'm like there, but if there's like some small thread, I'm like, okay, that can at least like hold my attention. So it's never like I went into it thinking that I'm going to be a romance writer or I'm going to be writing. I have just always, like, my entire life, even since I was a really little kid, I had these very vivid dreams that will stay with me for a really long time after I've had them. And so when I was in my 20s, there were these dreams that were just really taking up my time. Like, I would think about them all day at work. I would think about them when I was driving to and from work. I'm just like, maybe if I just emailed them to myself, I would stop thinking about them because I like got them out of my head. And then I was like, well, what would have happened if I hadn't woken up yet? And what would have happened like before the dream started? And so I kind of was just building off them. And that was actually the first Forgiving Lies book. And I had kind of played around with that for like a little over a year. And never once thinking like I'm writing a book. I was literally in my head just having fun expanding on this dream. And then started what was From Ashes. And right after I started From Ashes, I had the dream that was Taking Chances. And started in that. And I wrote the entirety of Taking Chances and got to this point where I was like, I don't really think there's anything that I can add to this and I'm done. And it wasn't until I had that whole I'm done feeling that I kind of thought, I think I wrote a book. And so that was the first kind of book notion. That was the first anything. And so that's when we kind of got onto the whole, like, maybe you could self-publish it. And we went there. But before that, there was never anything where it was like, hey, you know, I want to do this and I want to be an author. But I guess just because I like reading books with romance, that's kind of where I went. I think I also don't like to be in one box, the same as I don't like reading in one box. I'm very much like a fantasy and paranormal romance reader. But I like reading contemporary too. I like reading like kind of all over the place. I'll read something YA and then I'll read something that's like super dark romance. So I don't know. I very much like just like being kind of all over the place with that. But I don't know, there's something about suspense that's like very exciting to me. And I think it gives you a lot more, of an ability to have fun with your characters because there's less rules. I think, you have that like whole morally gray character thing that can happen and, you know, they can kind of do a lot more. And so also it keeps the reader going because they want to know what's going to happen. And so, I don't know, I think I just gravitate toward that more. But like you said, like I've gone back to small town since I started writing romantic suspense. So I don't know. I just kind of like being everywhere.
You know, like I kind of fall into that same boat because I've always hated reading. And I just started picking up reading like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then like, I wish, like I'm one of those people who love reading when they were younger too. Cause I've seen where people love reading and then they have like a job they love just being someone who promote books and all this stuff. And I really, I was like, why didn't I love reading at first too? But why did I barely start reading it now? So I totally understand that. And so from when you first released your first book, what was the biggest challenge for you?
That's a difficult one. I think the biggest challenge for me was probably continuing to write for myself instead of altering to write for the readers, because you always get those comments like, I wish you wouldn't have done what you did in chapter 13 of Taking Chances. And so it's like, it starts getting in your head when you're writing and you're like, oh my gosh, the readers are going to hate me if I do this. Maybe I shouldn't do this. And I think if that would have happened when I was writing Taking Chances, I never would have done chapter 13, mm-hmm. which I'm sure everyone probably already knows, but just in case, I'm just not going to say it. But it's just one of those things. Like, I feel like there is this like freedom. Like, I've done like 2 secret releases in the last couple years. And when no one knew that I was writing it, like I felt like there was like no pressure to it. Mm-hmm. And it was really freeing. And those books just kind of like flowed for me. And they were, I mean, some of the funnest times that I've had writing since I started publishing, because I didn't, for whatever reason, which is weird, because again, I already know like what my readers do and do not want. But because they didn't know that it was coming, I didn't feel like there was an expectation to them. And so it was very freeing. And I didn't feel like I had that like mindset while I was writing it. And I think that is definitely been my biggest challenge, is continuing to write for myself. Not saying that I don't want to give my readers something that they want. It's just like, you want to take the story where the characters are taking it. And you want to make sure the story's supposed to go where it's supposed to go. And if you're so worried about what everyone's going to say about it, it can stifle a lot and it can change everything, essentially. And so I think that's something that probably a lot of us deal with. And it's been difficult. There have been times like where I've started doing something and had to like change the entire like last third of the book, because I was like, no, I know that this is how it's supposed to go. And I know that they're probably going to be upset, but this just has to happen. So I don't know. It's definitely a difficult thing. And it's one of those things that you kind of worry. You're like, oh my God, like as soon as like publishing or like the release date comes out, you're like waiting for those people to like get to that part. And you're like, okay, waiting for them to hate me or not. Like, what's going to happen? But that's definitely been it. Like, just wanting to know that like they don't hate you forever for killing another main character or, you know, something like that, but also continuing to be true to your characters while you're writing them.
Have you ever been, I'm not going to say influenced to change something in a story, like when you wrote the Brood series, because you were writing them as you were releasing them. So you will release one and then you will write the next one. Were there ever times where you would read reviews and be like, okay, let me change this little thing in this next book that you had planned or anything? Or do you just go with it to where, no, I am sticking to my plan, nothing's going to change, and so forward?
Not so much reviews. It's more editors will make me change what I'm doing. There's something in Glow. It's not like something, it's a big thing in Glow. And it still kills me that I changed it. I mean, so it is what it is.
I am curious.
But I mean, the book would have happened the way it happened. Like, either way, it would have just been like for different reasonings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's like things like that. And there's things like when I was with HarperCollins and like some of the, not like my main editor, but like the copy editors, they were like worried about like the like intensity in some scenes in Forgiving Lies. And they're like, you can't do this. It's going to upset people. It's going to trigger people. And so then I was like, okay, so I had to take a bunch of stuff out. And then later in the book, they're like, well, you can't say that this happened to her because it never happened to her. And I'm like, you made me take it out. So, you know, there's like things that happen like that, but no, it's never been so much that like, I saw a review, so it made me change the course of like what happened in the series. It's more just like my editors will say something and I'm like, oh dang, you know, probably shouldn't have any of that in there anymore.
And how do you get it? Because some, like I've said before, like some of your books have made me, especially Fire, have made me cry so freaking much, especially during a scene. And I'm just going to say it. Sorry. Where in Fire, where she gives him the ring. Like, and I've told you this before, to where it broke me. Even when I, because I reread the book before, like I read it and it still makes me cry. Like, how do you get inspiration to write those emotional scenes, and how do you get in the mood to write them? Because even for Forgiving Lies, for example, like what she goes through towards the end of the first book and then Deceiving Lies in the second book, it's very emotional because you feel like you're going in this roller coaster and this whole journey with her. Like, how do you get in the mood to sit down and write those scenes?
I don't know. A lot of times those scenes come to me like as I'm writing them, because I'm definitely a pantser writer. So I'm like not like anticipating that they're coming. And so I think when they hit me, like as emotional as they are for you to be reading them, they're emotional for me like when it's suddenly happening. So I'm just kind of sitting there like sobbing while I'm like writing it. And so I don't think there's like a way for me to like amp myself up for it, just because I'm not like anticipating that it's coming. But I will tell you like the intense scenes, like what you were referring to back in like Forgiving Lies. And like when I wrote like To the Stars, mm-hmm. That was something that it's like to get kind of in that headspace. I'm basically like tense the entire time, like holding my breath. And it's probably like a really weird thing to say. Like I hold my breath, like while I'm like writing, but I'm just like, cause it's like a weird thing to be like writing about. Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, like especially To the Stars. I would, after I was done writing the scenes that she had with Colin, I would have to go lay down and I would be like physically shaking because I would not be able to just like handle continuing on after that. I mean, that sounds weird. Like I wouldn't be able to continue writing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Normally it's just not something that I am like, hey, this scene's coming. I always have music playing because I have like all these like playlists and I kind of just like put like a bunch of stuff together that kind of like sounds like what my characters feel like to me, I guess. But I don't like put on one song and I'm like, yes, this is my scene. Let's go. But yeah, so it's just one of those things. Like once I get in the scene, I'm like, oh, this is what's happening. This is where we're going. And then I'm basically right there with you guys.
Because some scenes are emotional, like, I won't say what the letter had, but in Glow, you know, that scene where she reads the letter, like, that scene, for me, like, I remember reading it, and I kid you not, I was bawling, because I was like, and it's funny, because I put the book on hold, and I was like, oh, why did she do this? How did you think of this? Because it literally breaks your heart while you're reading it. So I'm always like, do you plan what's going to happen in the book before you write it? Or like you said, like these scenes come to you as you're writing it.
Oh yeah, no, it's absolutely as I'm writing it. And then a lot of times, like I'll have to go back to the beginning of the book and I'll have to like sprinkle some things in. Cause I'm like, oh, so this is actually what's happening like the whole time. So maybe I should make it make more sense throughout the rest of the book. Absolutely. I have no idea what's happening. Like while I'm writing, I just let the characters go. And then I try to go and fix it. There's a lot of times like I'll get, I don't know what it is about 2/3 of the way through the book, but there's this like 2/3 point that I'm like, I finally figure out what the book's about. And a lot of times like I'll have to start the entire book over. Sometimes very rarely I can just go in and I can like sprinkle things in and fix it. But yeah, like the whole thing that happened like in Glow, I figured out while I was writing Glow. So that was a fun surprise. I actually remember like my friend Molly E. Lee, I messaged her and I was like, so this is what happened. And she's like, no. And I was like, yeah. That wasn't something that like I knew pre like going into like the whole series and or the book. I figured it out along the way.
So for that, how do you plan? Like, because that series has, is it four books?
Mm-hmm.
Four books. So how do you come up with when you're first starting writing? Okay, I'm going to have four books. Each book is going to be about this. Or do you, how do you decide that? Like, how do you decide how many books this series is going to have? And do you have an idea of what the book might be about before you, when planning the whole series?
So the only thing I had is I actually had this back like long before I ever wrote ICU. So because I had been talking to my editor at HarperCollins at the time. I was like, I had this dream and it was about these brothers. And so all I knew is like what the brothers were like. And I was like, this one guy, he's like not into bigger girls. So obviously that ended up changing with Sawyer, but like that was just a general thing. And I was like, the other guy, he's like the one that kind of stepped up to the plate. And that, so I literally just knew generally overall, like what the brothers were about. So it was just going to be three books. Cause in my head, I knew that like, the oldest brother was married. I was like, he's already done. Like, I don't care about him. He's fine. He's grumpy. Oh my God. Right. And so then I was looking through these photos from Samantha Weaver. And I was just trying to find cover photos and I found that guy with the jaw and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Bo. And I was like, I don't need a cover for him because I'm not writing his story. But just seeing this picture, I was like, I kind of feel like I'm going to write his story now. So because of that, I ended up deciding that he was getting a book. But no, so beforehand, I just, all I knew was that like I'd had a dream of these four brothers and I just generally knew like their personalities. But that was it.
Interesting. I am so happy you ran into that cover because he... That cover
your book.
Perfect. And his book has to be my favorite. It will hands down is my favorite. And to this day, I'm still debating Dare or Bo. Like I cannot pick because you know how deep my love for Dare is.
Yeah. When you said that, I was like, oh no, I like really got her with this one. But he's in my top three of my guys. Like for me, like he's top three for me. And so but you know how it is, like everyone views everyone differently. So when you said that, I was like, oh no, those are like fighting words right there for Jan. So it was exciting.
So you did talk about how you were surprised while writing the book. So besides that, what is the most surprising thing you discovered while writing your books?
About the books or about like myself or?
About yourself, about the books.
I think just that people want to read them. I don't know, because I have just always really enjoyed telling stories, and I think my family can't stand me for that because I cannot just tell like any kind of story for anything. I'll like run off into like a whole bunch of other stories while I'm doing it. So whenever I start talking, they're like, oh God, here she goes. My poor family. But I've just always really enjoyed telling stories. And so for me, it's really not just, again, like I said earlier, I didn't start off just to become an author. I was just messing around with these dreams. And so now I just still really enjoy telling stories. And so the fact that people want to read them at all always really surprises me. I still would rather just talk to people about books. Like I want to talk to people about books. And then if they ever like bring up mine, I'm like, oh, right. Right about that. I guess there are some of mine. But I don't know, just the fact that it's just been this really crazy journey and that these characters have like come to mean so much and that people don't think I'm totally insane for talking to people in my head all day.
And I know you did say that like for the Brood series, you wanted to write about these brothers. So for every book that you write, like what comes, does it vary to what comes first, either the plot or the characters, or how do you come up with your stories?
Yeah, I guess that does just depend because in that particular thing, I literally had just had a dream. Like it was just, there were like four brothers and it was like weird. They were like all standing outside this restaurant And which is why I actually like threw the restaurant in fire, because they'd been standing outside a Mexican restaurant. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to bring that back around. It was like the most like random, like piece of a dream. Like it was like the only thing I remembered when I woke up. But so for that, it was just the characters, like that I remembered them. And so it was like focused on them. But there are other ones, like for example, I See You and Taking Chances and From Ashes, it's very much more, like I remember still like the full chapters that I had dreams about. And so like, I will start like in the middle of the book, or like with ICU, it was actually like the beginning of the book. It was the dream that I had. That was what took it off. So for those, it's basically that is what, like those dreams just kind of like spiraled into the rest of this, the rest of the book. And then the characters kind of just came after. So it just really depends. I don't ever follow like a structure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably kind of odd, because whenever I talk to other people, they are either very much like a pantser and like a, in a, but like, this is how I do it kind of a way, or they are a plotter, like in a very like concise way. And I'm just kind of like all over the place. Like, I don't know, I'll just do this today.
So you did mention your top three heroes that's your favorite from your books. So who are they?
Okay. So Kieran, very quickly, just because he was always like, whenever I wrote a guy, I was like, oh, he might be my new favorite. And then I wrote Kieran in Nightshade, and I was like, okay. Like, I don't know what it is about this assassin, but okay. And then I wrote Limit, what, a few books later? And Connor is this guy who, he's like kind of a sweetheart, but at the same time, even though he's only like a few years younger than Kieran like sort of raised him. So he has those same qualities as Kieran, but he has like the heart of gold. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, I just feel like he has like the best of both. So Kieran and Connor were always just kind of like right there side by side for me, and no one else could touch them for me. I'm like, they both just kill people, like, you know, but they have redemptive qualities, and I just totally love them. And then I wrote Bo, and I don't know, I can't like choose Bo over them, and I can't choose them over Bo, but they're just kind of all in a mix in my top three.
But if you had to pick, I just have to ask, who would you say is number one?
I mean, probably Kieran, because he's an assassin. he definitely has that like, I'll kill you if you look at her kind of a vibe. And that's really hot. So, but I don't know, but you know,
like the dark bad boy though. So
no, but Bo, he's like, so like, he's angry. Apparently I like angry guys. I don't know. My husband's not angry. But I don't know.
Okay, you say that he's angry, but I guess because I'm protective of him and I love him. I felt like he was always misunderstood.
Very.
He was seen as someone, like you said, he has anger issues or whatever, but I feel that there was so much more to him than people were seeing. Like her family, oh my God, I remember the scene where he ends up leaving after, I think she gives him the rings. And his father-in-law goes after him and tells him, you know, we're here for you, we love you, blah, blah, blah. But before then, like, they had this mindset about him where was completely off. And I felt like his resentment to people came from that, to where he was very, very misunderstood. And he was never given the chance to show people who he really was. And I think that's why I loved him a lot. And I love him a lot because, like, you just want to protect him and be like, stop treating him like that.
Yeah, the way Savannah did.
Yeah. And it's like, I think that's why he's literally one of my favorites. I'm never going to say who's my favorite between him or Derek because it hurts. But it's like that whole book, and I don't do books that go back and forth to like the past, the present, the past, because I'm just like, ugh. But that one felt so right because you were seeing him how he was. And then you also be like, oh, okay, I get it now. This is why he has so much resentment towards this person. It's because of this.
Right.
And I love everything about that book. I love it. For you to write that small town, and then you also wrote from the Redemption series, what do you prefer to write? The dark, more suspenseful romance or the small town with still that drama in it?
I definitely like to do the dark suspense for sure. I don't know. So I ended up really enjoying writing the Brood series more than I anticipated. And then with the Secrets in LA series, it ended up taking me by surprise because I wanted that to kind of be a really quick series that people could just like kind of pick up and read in the middle of the day, like just like in a couple hours, like not really like anything like of substance. And then of course, like, I don't know how to write those books. Like they just end up being too long and there's like too much drama and stuff. And so that series also really took me by surprise, but the entire time I felt so pulled back to the suspense world. And so I think a lot of it started like kind of like filtering back in, even when I wasn't like supposed to, like with Passion, like there was not like a ton of suspense, but there was like some kind of like, well, what's happening? And so I don't know. I really enjoyed writing those contemporary, and I really, oh my God, if Amber, Texas could be a real place. I mean, like I made Amber after a street that's just like a couple streets down from us. But if it was actually like a real place, like, I just want to go live there. Like, I want to be there with those people. And I want to be able to like walk into Brood and like see them all there. So in my head, like that world created is just like so special to me now. And cause I've made other towns like with, the Thatch series, like Thatch is a town that I made, but I just don't care about it. Like I care about that series. I don't care about that town. And I care about Amber, Texas. And so I don't know. It's very special to me. I wish I could go back. I just don't have any like reason to go back. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like the pull for suspense for me is like so huge. Like I felt like I was constantly like keeping myself from something that I wanted to be in.
When you wrote that Redemption series, how did you develop that whole plot to it? Because for Firefly, it was, maybe it's because it's my favorite from all three of them, but I felt like it was very, it literally had me on the edge of my bed. Like I was like, okay, when is he gonna find out? When is she like, what is she gonna do? What is he gonna do when he finds out? Like there's a lot of like up and down throughout the whole series from all three books. How did you come up with, again, back to what I asked earlier, like, did you already have planned what was going to happen in each book for that series?
No. So, okay. So Blackbird was just something that, well, that was like my first, I mean, like there was like minor suspense and like Forgiving Lies. But like Blackbird was like my first like step into it. And it was very fun for me. And it was also very fun because I got to bring back a certain character. But I knew that it was really just the start of what was to come. It was the start of like a much bigger world, which is what we see in the rest of like the next two series. However, I could not figure out Forgiving Lies. I knew it was going to be about like the drugs that like they had referenced in Blackbird, and like that kind of gang that they'd been referencing, but it was not coming to me at all. Like I couldn't see them. I couldn't do anything like that. So I actually started working on Nightshade first because I knew I wanted to write Jessica's book from ICU, like Gentry's sister. I knew I wanted to write her book and I knew I could see her with this guy who was able to stand up against her. And so I could see Kieran perfectly. And so I started writing their book and it just, not like the entire book just like flowed out of me, but like all these like little parts of it. So I was like writing down like all these like little bits and pieces. And so I knew everything that was going to happen in Nightshade before I ever started writing Firefly. So So what happens at the end of Nightshade, I knew like the entire time. So every time that that person popped on the page, I was like devastated. I was like, I know what's going to happen to you. I'm sorry. But with Firefly, have I not ever told you about Firefly? Mm-mm. It was actually a fantasy book first, like an urban fantasy. And I am like, okay, again, I love, it's my favorite romantic, like paranormal romance and like fantasy. Those are my favorite. I can't write them. And I try all the time. Like I constantly like have like at least like five different books that I'm like playing with. And I'm really bad at it. Like I am terrible. I just can't do it. So it was one of my like urban fantasy attempts. And it was terrible. But it was like the entire thing. Like all I did is I took out like the fantasy elements. Mm. And that's what Firefly ended up being.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like the same thing, except she was like literally a princess instead of just a mob princess. And yeah.
So but now I'm trying to picture it as a fantasy.
But like he was like the son of like a rebel leader and everything like that. And it basically all went the exact same way that it went in Firefly. And I had just been messing around with it because I knew I was like needed to be doing other things and I couldn't. And I was like, oh my gosh, these are my characters that I need to be having right now. So I just flipped it and it ended up being perfect. And again, not that I can do fantasy anyway. But no, so I'd actually had it there for years and just didn't know it.
That's crazy. I feel like it's true. Every single year I ask you for more. And these of that world, just because it's so, like in Firefly, we see his group of friends to where, you know, a lot of things happen, yeah. Especially for one of them. And it's like, it's very curious to see what you could do going into that series. Would you ever go back?
To Dare specifically?
No, to like that world to where we're still seeing, we might see him, we, you know, or other ones, but would you go back to that world or would you start a new world completely?
I'm writing Diggs' story right now. And Dare was actually just on the page. Your favorite. You know? but I'm setting it up. So that, because I've written Diggs is the last one, but everyone else has gotten their stories. And so Diggs is going to lead into the Henley series because, you know, Libby married like the bassist of the Henley band. And so they're going to kind of get mixed up in that world. Not like too crazy, but a little bit. And also in this book, a new family is going to come in, not an ally though. And so there are going to be another series that will come later. Ooh. But so, yeah, so we have things that are coming, but no Diggs. I'm writing his story right now.
So excited.
And I'm actually like very excited. I have been waiting to write his story since I finished Limit. So that's been years of just sitting there waiting, knowing exactly what's going to happen.
I'm so excited. It feels like it's been too long since we've been in that world.
I know. Just because
you did write the Brood series and it's a small town. And then you wrote Passion and all that series. So it feels like you've been in this light sort of like pet, like world for quite a minute. So going back, I'm so excited.
And that's how it's going to feel for them too, because at the end of Limit, they were all kind of just like falling into this cozy little like lifestyle where everything was settled. And that's how it's going to have been for years for them. So they're just going to have been living like normal lives without anything have been happening for years. And they are going to have gotten really comfortable in that. So, when things start happening for them, it'll be jarring because basically like while we've been like in the contemporary world, they were also kind of in the contemporary world. So yeah, it's going to be fun though. And intense. There's a lot that's going to happen.
I'm so excited, but I'm mostly excited for to see Dare, just because I love him. And I still always hope that you're going to be like, let me write a novella. Like, I could have added more to the ending. I think what I loved about that book is that whenever they were writing each other those little notes, I feel like that for me was a big part of why I loved it, because they were so, that thing was so pure, but it's like he was hiding so much, she was hiding so much. And then when they both like clash, it's like so much bigger than you would expect.
Yeah.
And I love that book so much. But and I do always ask you every single year, I cannot go a year without asking, so are we gonna get more Dare?
I mean, you'll see him. He's obviously gonna be a really big part, but
I'm excited. Would you ever do a second generation? Because the way, like, you know, into that world,
I don't know. I did that with Trusting Liam, mm-hmm. right? And then Lie to Me. And so it's not anything that I'll ever say is like off the table, but I still have so much that's going to be happening with this, you know, with this new family that's coming in, which, by the way, they're like wicked. And I'm like super excited. And then like the Henley series coming, which I'm also really excited about the Henley series, because that's like Izzy's series from GLOW. So really? That's where she's coming in. Those are the boys that she's like wrangling. With the text or whatever that she sent to Hunter, that's the job that she has. She's like managing them. So I still have so much that's still in that world that I don't want to be like, yes, I'm going into all their kids' stories now. Because, yeah, I don't know. I still have a lot to do there.
Do you know how many... Do you already know how many books are going to be in each series, or are you still waiting to see what when you start writing the story?
Henley is for sure going to have 3. I don't know about the next one, about the with the new family. I still haven't even like fully met them yet. I just know what they like look like. Because you know how like the Brellas have their bandanas. I know what they do.
That brings me back to that tag that you were on Facebook of that cover model. It was a couple that they were, I think they were like in a, I don't know if it was in a bed or something. And like, I guess someone
Yeah.
And I'm just like, holy guacamole. Like, yeah. I need this book, even though I know nothing about it. And it's just an image and maybe it's not even part of the cover, but it was like really, really good.
Yeah. That'll be one of the Henley series books.
I love your covers just because I feel like each cover does represent a little of the couple that we're reading. So I'm very excited to see that one.
Yeah, no, Kayla Ruiz, like, oh my gosh, she has some very, very hot sessions. And so I always look at them and I'm always like, man, one of these days I'd really like one of her pictures. So I finally reached out and I was like, do you sell your photos for covers? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, hold on, I have a list. So I was very excited.
Well, I'm excited to see that one and read that whole world that you have going on. I'm so excited. I miss your suspenseful dark world so much, so I'm so excited to go back to that one. And I did want to ask you for another series, for going back to the Brood series, mm-hmm. whenever, and this might be a spoiler if you haven't read it, I would skip, sorry, but I have to know, like I have to ask, whenever we read Fire after he had done and his whole big secret,
right?
Like, did you had that planned already, or is that something where it came while you were writing? I think it was GLOW. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no. It definitely came like during GLOW. It wasn't. That was one of the ones where I knew like halfway through GLOW, mm-hmm. and I think it like came probably like toward the end of GLOW. but it was like one of the interactions that they'd had together, like when she was at their house or whatever, and he was like all like mad at her, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know what happened. So no, I kind of, it just kind of just like hit me, and I could like see everything. And so I knew like a little bit before I actually got to like the scene, like where I wrote her whole flashback of it. Mm-hmm. But no, I didn't know before going into Glow that that's what had happened.
You know, it's crazy because when I read Glow, I was like, there's no way that I'm going to like him. There's no way. Like how could he do that? Like, because I do not do cheating books. Like I try to avoid right. them. So I was like, how? No, like I don't know. I was nervous. I was hurt. I was so mad at him. I was like, there's no way I'm going to like him. And it's funny because I ended up coming out of reading that book, freaking loving him and being mad at like Savannah. I was like, how dare you put him through this? And all his brothers, because I felt like even with his brothers, he was very misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And it was a roller coaster. So I was like, I always wondered how you came up with that storyline to where, was it always scary? Because I know some readers are very like I said, don't like cheating or anything. So it's like, did you ever double think of adding it? Or did you say, no, you know, this is how the story has to go. So this is what I'm going to write for his story.
No, I think that goes back to what I was like talking about earlier, where you always wonder like, and you're worried that people will get mad at you for what you're about to write. But I'd already written some other things in that series that I'd been like super worried about them getting mad at. And I was more, focused on the whole Izzy problem in Glow.
Yeah.
Cause I'd like, hold on, this is not what you asked, but I was like, I just need to get rid of Izzy. So I wrote all of Izzy's chapters first, thinking like, I'll get done with her. And I totally fell in love with her. And I was like, oh my God, Izzy's the best. So I think you can like really tell in Glow that I like obviously fell in love with Izzy.
Yes. And I
everyone did. Wanted him to be with Izzy.
I was so mad because I was like, how is she going to fix this? Because I feel like you wrote, usually when you write the other person, people write it to where the character is always going to prefer the heroine.
Right.
But it was like, when I was reading, I was like, what is she doing? Like, there's nothing wrong with her. How am I supposed to like dislike her to the point where I want her out of the story?
My editor was like, it's not Izzy's book. And I was like, no, I know, but I really like Izzy. But so I was having that problem. So I didn't really care about what people were going to think about what actually happened, like what made Madison leave. And so, but also I will say this in Madison's defense. So we see Madison come back and Hunter's already like mad that she's been gone. We don't know why she's been gone. There's this like whole secret like looming around why she left. We see Hunter's heartbreak and she's already devastated when she comes back because she's just like coming off of a marriage that ended badly. So she comes back like as this like kind of not really broken person, but she's been going through some stuff. So we see her coming back in this like horrible place. We know that she's done all these bad things to Hunter and we see that heartbreak and all that stuff. So we see the bad things with Madison. We see no bad things with Izzy other than that she helped heal Hunter. And so that is like one of the things that I do feel bad for Madison for, because like, if you only ever saw the good things with Madison, you would really just like Madison too.
Yeah.
But it's their second chance. So there had to be some kind of like breaking moment in there. And plus again, when it starts, she's in a bad spot. So I do feel bad for Madison in that aspect that she doesn't really have a fair chance against Izzy for the reader, because we don't have a reason to not like Izzy. Mm-hmm. And we have reasons to not like Madison. But in my heart, even though I totally fell in love with Izzy, I truly believe that Hunter's like true love is Madison, but he did still fall for Izzy. But yeah, we just got to see the good in Izzy and we got to see all the bad of Madison too. And so
I mean, Madison. I get so annoyed with Izzy though. Cause I was like, no, I have to get annoyed with her. Like get out of my pages. Like this is not your book, but like, and that brings me back to when, like I was reading that chapter where, you know, she reads the letter that Izzy left Hunter, to where it's like, I was double, like, guessing or thinking, like, his feelings for her. Because I was like, okay, so if he's going after Izzy, like, where does that leave her? So I was very, like, confused in that point to where is Molly taking this? Like, who am I supposed to be rooting for?
I don't know, because I fell in love with Izzy. No anymore. So yeah, no, I wasn't really worried about like what people would think about the Madison big explosion thing, because I was more focused on the fact that I was trying to make people not like Izzy as much, and I didn't succeed in that.
Because you did say how you did two surprise releases. Stealing Chances was the most recent, and I do have to ask, what made you go back to that world after all these years? Like, what made you say, you know, I'm going to write his book, I'm going to do it this way? Like, what brought that on to surprise releasing this book?
Well, I get asked like probably 20 times a week to bring Chase back. So there's that. But it was just never an option for me because I can't write paranormal. So I've tried. And so one day Kelly Elliott and I were talking and we were just kind of joking around, because she was like, man, people are constantly asking you to bring him back. And I was like, I know. And so we were kind of like spitballing with like what it would look like if I brought him back. And we came up with all these like different things. And somehow we actually got into like full planning mode, like, this is what it could really look like. And then somehow it got into this like, oh my gosh, yes. And we came up with that. It was like, so I don't know, it was one of those moments that it was just like so we both literally had goosebumps, like not like figuratively, we both literally did. My heart was racing. And to me, it was so right. Mm-hmm. That I was like, I don't know how I can't not actually write this. And it was probably a year and a half ago that this happened. And I knew that I didn't have time to write it then. And I just thought it would be perfect if I could somehow finish it in time for the 10-year anniversary of Taking Chances. Which I barely scraped that out. I almost did not get it out in time. But I don't know. I actually had a lot of people who thought I did it just like as a publicity thing, but it was really one of those things. I never thought I was going to do it, because I always thought the only way to bring him back was a paranormal book. And I just could not do that. But when we came up with that idea, I just couldn't see, like, once I had it in my head, I couldn't see how I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be just this like really amazing gift for these readers who have always been so amazing for me. So I know a lot of people haven't been happy with it because he didn't end up with Harper. Mm-hmm. So, but in my head, when writing Taking Chances, he was never supposed to end up with Harper. But again, it was the same thing. In the dream that I had that led to Taking Chances, I knew in the dream that she was supposed to be with Brandon. But when I was writing it, I fell in love with Chase, same as I fell in love with Izzy. So everyone else fell in love with Chase, but I always knew that she was not supposed to be with him. She was supposed to be with Brandon.
I actually loved her with Brandon. I felt like those two were, I guess, because from the beginning, I was like, no, I love them together. And I don't know, it's tricky because of what happens in Stealing Harper, because it's, yeah, I would see a lot of people asking for them to as their end game. But I was always the person who I was like, no, I don't like that.
And I just feel like Scarlett, who is in Stealing mm-hmm. Chances, for anyone who hasn't read it, when you see her and Chase together, she fits him so well in a way that Harper never did.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so out of it right now that I don't know if I just said any of the correct names.
You did.
Okay. But But and she just fits him. And to me, Harper fits Brandon, which in Taking Chances, she was 18 and she was like around guys for the first time that weren't like, you know, weird Marines posing as her brothers. So she was kind of figuring herself out, but like she fits with Brandon, and Scarlett just can hold her own against Chase, who is kind of this cocky jerk.
I want to ask you, how did you develop Scarlett? Because she is so completely different than Harper.
Okay, so this is kind of weird because I don't normally do this, but I could not see this girl in my head at all. And so I hadn't started writing the book, but I knew what her name was, and that was about it. And we were watching Uncharted. Mm-hmm. I think is what it's called. Tom Holland, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I've already forgotten her name. Tati. I don't know. I am like, I should have come more prepared for this. Anyway, the girl in that, she's on my Pinterest. I'm like obsessed with her now. She's like gorgeous. And I saw her, and the entire time, like we were watching the movie, every time she popped up, I was like, that's Scarlett. That's Scarlett. And it was just, she had this like persona. Like, I mean, in the movie, she was, you know, not a good person. She was kind of the villain, but she's not like a villain in Stealing Chances, but she had this persona that she could just hold her own against these guys. And I was like, that's Scarlett. I can see it so clearly. And so I actually made Scarlett after her character in Uncharted.
Really?
Tati Gabrielle is her name. There we go. I knew I would have gotten there eventually. So yeah, I don't normally do that. I normally like have this whole thing. And as I'm writing the character, I try to find like someone who vaguely looks like them. But no, with that, I was like watching the movie and it was just fully her.
And what was the hardest thing about writing this alternate universe? Because like, you know, we already know what happens to him. Like, what was the hardest thing for you when diving into this, you know, alternate universe where like you said in the prologue or in the acknowledgments, like in the beginning, one little thing changes the whole course of everything. So what was the most challenging thing for you?
Literally the entire book. There's like been a few books that I'm like, this is the hardest book I've ever written. And then I wrote this and I'm like, this is the hardest book I've ever written, because it literally went against everything that was in Taking Chances and Stealing Harper. So basically things that I'd already written twice before, it was just destroying all of that. And that was a really hard thing to grasp. And I don't know, that was like, you think it should be easy. Like, okay, well, sure. This just didn't happen. It's just something else. But I don't know. It was almost like everything was like, no, because you already know this. You've seen this so many times. And I basically had to just like keep, like every time I was writing, like I'd be like in a scene and like multiple times over and over, I'd have to tell myself like, no, that no longer happened. And it was like a constant fight with myself. And also I was afraid, I don't know how many times, like I kept going over Taking Chances and Stealing Harper to try to like get Chase's voice into my head again. But I was worried that I didn't actually like know his voice anymore. So that was like something I was like terrified by. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, what if I don't actually know his character anymore? And, so yeah, I think this book was just, it was like terrifying to me because it was basically throwing away everything that I've known for 10 years about them and like worrying that I didn't actually know those characters anymore.
What was the hardest scene to write?
It was probably him and Scarlett in the kitchen when he took her ring, which was weird because at the time I literally didn't like think of it as anything like related to fire until someone said it to me. They're like, oh my gosh, it's like Savannah and Beau all over again. And I was like, oh no.
Even rings, man, it hurts.
I don't know, but it was weird because in my head it just wasn't the same thing, because with Beau and Savannah, she was like, no, we're done. And with this, he was doing it as a way to like give her an out, you know. he wasn't trying to actually hurt her, but still it was like a gut-wrenching thing for her. And so, but that whole thing was just like difficult for me. I think there were so many times that he was so mean to her and I was like, dang, you're being such a jerk. But definitely in the kitchen, cause like you could tell it was like right when he was finally like giving in to everything. And then he was like also pumping the brakes, but I knew he was doing it for her and she had to come to that realization later. So yeah, that was difficult.
I sort of agree with you to where when I was reading, I saw it more of a, he's taking the ring back so they can restart again versus with fire. She gave him like, no, he took off his ring thinking that, you know, he wasn't going to be going back and forward. He wasn't going to be, you know, keep going and breaking his heart all over again.
Right.
So it did feel different, but it did not hurt less because we were seeing it. I found myself, even though this was, you know, an alternate universe for him, I felt myself gravitating more towards her just because I felt like she was getting hurt the most throughout the whole journey. There's a scene, I think they're in the kitchen too, to where they're talking and he's getting very frustrated and she asks him what he wants and he screams at her and tells her, I want my life, my old life back. And that's when she realizes, you know, he's not talking about his old life with me. He's talking about the, you know, his life. And that scene broke me. I was crying. I was like, oh no, I hate him. And I went into the book like loving him, but it's like I finished it loving her.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying I didn't love him, because I do. Like, I feel like this was a good closure and a good kind of like that little treat to us readers who wanted more of his character. But I do feel like it took my mind and it separated it from that old like world where we last saw him.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I definitely, like, even though it was supposed to be like his story, it somehow very much ended up her story. Mm-hmm. It was a lot about her.
It was. I absolutely loved it. And I was like, I want more, because it's like, I feel like I finished your books and I'm just like, I want more. Like, don't leave us like that. This could easily be a cliffhanger. But I do want to say, for me, thank you for giving us that alternate universe. Cause like I said, it did give me closure, because it hurt every time thinking about how he ended up. So having him be in this new world, even though it's not what I would have pictured, was a good closure for how I felt about him. And I loved it. And I really do hope you give us a fantasy ones, because now I'm very curious and I'm interested and I am cheering for you to take that leap and write it, because now I can't picture Firefly. Like, I'm like, how would have it been a fantasy? Like, that's interesting.
It's so funny, because when I picture Firefly, I automatically picture it the fantasy way.
Well, now I'm going to reread it, because I've been wanting to reread it. And now I'm just going to be like, okay, maybe she meant doing this scene like this. Maybe this is how I should have been.
I don't know. It wouldn't have been any good.
Well, I don't think so. I love the way you write books. I love the angst. And I kid you not, I cry with your books all the time. And I've said it to Pang. I've said it in this podcast so many times, how I legit bawl my eyes out. And I get the biggest book slump after finishing your books, because my mind cannot get away from what I just read. It happened with Fire. It happened with Stealing Chances. It was like that little story that I needed at that time when I was reading it. So I want to say thank you to you for writing these amazing books. And I am super, super excited for what's to come. you'll probably hear from me after I finish them, be like, I need more, I need more. Because I was, they're truly amazing. And I did want to say thank you for that. I do want to say thank you so much for joining us today. It was so much fun because I've always wanted to talk to you. And in book signings, I feel like there's not enough time to me to stand there and talk to you and tell you exactly how I feel about your characters. Because there's people behind me and I was like, don't want to hold up the line. And it's, I'm like, plus this is a book signing. I don't want to scream at her in a book signing and tell her, how dare you do this to me? So thank you. And we do appreciate you being on this podcast with us. I do want to let you know before we let you go, we wanted to do a this and that game with you. Just so we can get to know you a little bit better and see what you prefer.
Okay. Okay. I'm ready. Oh no.
Paperback or hardback?
Hardback for sure.
A discreet cover or cover with people on it?
People.
Listening to music while writing or no music while writing?
Absolutely need music.
Coffee or tea?
Oh my gosh, coffee all day.
Yes.
Small town or dark romance?
Oh, both or just a combination. But I guess if I had to choose, I'd do dark romance.
So cheating in books or no cheating?
Oh my gosh, I will throw a love triangle into every book if I can. So absolutely cheating.
Standalone or series?
Series.
A broken hero or a broken heroine?
Ooh. Let's go broken hero. That's fun. I mean, it's not. But
so a hero or an anti-hero?
Anti-hero all day.
Yes. Makes me think of Dare, just saying. But thank you so much, Molly, for being here with us today. We had like an amazing time. And like I said, I'm so excited for everything that's to come. And just get ready for my messages for whenever I read those books.
I seriously appreciate y'all having me. Like, this was so fun. And just to even be asked to be on y'all's podcast was such an honor. So thank y'all so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And you know, I adore you and I can't wait to see you again. I think you're going to be in Holiday with the Bells.
Yes.
So I'll definitely see you in a couple of months.
All right. I'm excited.
But thank you so much. And we hope you have an amazing weekend.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Molly, for joining us today. Oh my God, I love her. I love her books. And I can't believe she thinks that I'm lying when I tell her that. Like, I really do love her books. I'm going to go back to every single time I mentioned her on here. If you haven't picked up Stealing Chances, definitely pick it up. If you haven't read the previous books, you don't have to. I feel like this book stands as a standalone, so you don't have to. I would say read them just so you can get in that mood and you can get that full circle feeling and close that chapter. I loved it. If not, definitely check out her Brood series, her Redemption series. All her books are freaking amazing. But definitely check them out. And I am so freaking excited to see everything that's to come. I love her dark romance series, so that's going to be very fun to go back to. And if you haven't yet, definitely go follow her on Instagram. Her handle is Molly S. McAdams, and like, just keep up with her books because you don't want to miss them. And we hope you guys have an amazing week. This was so much fun. I miss doing interviews. We haven't done them in so long.
I still get nervous, so
not as nervous as we were when we did it. Our first one was Corinne, right?
Yeah, that one was we were all so awkward.
You know, we've grown a long way. Yeah. I would say with doing even the podcast itself, so it's so much, you know, I am very grateful and thankful for everyone who listens to us. and for everyone sticking with us. So thank you so much to all the authors as well. And we'll be back with more author interviews. And like I said, if you don't follow Molly yet on Instagram, please do. If you have any questions for us, let us know on Instagram. Our handle is at BookBuzzPod. And we'll be back next week. And if you missed it, we announced our next author in our book box. It is, drumroll, if you haven't yet, Corinne Michaels. And we are doing the book You Loved Me Once. That one was an emotional roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
We will be doing, maybe that's what we'll do next week. We'll talk about that box and we'll talk about new updates and changes that are coming with our box. So make sure you keep an eye on our Instagram because we are going to go over all of that on our Instagram. And like I said, we'll probably make a little video before things go live, which they should go live this Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm so nervous.
With all these changes for the box, it's quite, I don't know. I'm speechless.
I'm speechless, nervous, and excited at the same time, just because mm-hmm. we are making cool changes. And yeah. I think we kind of settled on the swag for our first book of next year. That mm-hmm. one swag item that you showed me.
Yeah.
And I really want it for myself. So it's like a lot of things are coming up for that book, mm-hmm. the book box. So please make sure you're following us and keep up with all the updates because things are changing and they're fun things. It's going to be very fun. It's going to be amazing to see. And we hope you guys enjoy it as much as we do, but make sure you're following us in case you have any questions, always message us and we'll get back to you. And we hope you guys have an amazing week and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.